This episode of WWG is by Tammy Henderson and Glass Slipper Concierge, and Terry has all the facts about that.
You can reach out to Tammy at theworldwithtammy.com. And here's the amazing thing. When we wanted to give you guys an opportunity to bring partners to the show, we wanted people that could actually help you out. And here's what Tammy can do for you. If you're planning a Disney vacation, and I'm planning a couple of days coming up, and just using the My Disney Experience app to book your fast passes and to book your meals, if you're busy, man, it'd be great to just hand that off to someone else and have someone who can just plan your whole trip so you can actually go and just enjoy your vacation. That's what Tammy can do for you.
Yep.
Help you stay, help you make all those plans. She can be the one that gets up at 7 o'clock in the morning to make your reservations for you. And you can reach out to her on theworldwithtammy.com.
That's right. If you're booking those, if you use a travel agent, you may say, why do I need to do this? Well, you're right. Not only do they get up and do it for you, they get early access to a lot of those special perks. If you're booking a cruise, something like that, a lot of times they get the perks early or the excursions early. So if you want to make sure you get a cabana or something like that, a great way to do it is using an official travel agent. That's what Tammy is. And again, her website is
theworldwithtammy.com.
Go to the world with, oh, sorry, cut you off there. We're just too excited.
Theworldwithtammy.com. And also what's great about using a travel agent is when Disney releases specials, they're actually going to get on the phone with Disney to help you save money. And actually, they'll actually end up making less money, but they're willing to, for you to make sure that you're covered, that you get the best deal possible
awesome. On
your trip. So you can reach out to her on theworldwithtammy.com.
Thanks, Tammy. All right. And now on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, May 24th, and this is episode 1565 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes. Almost cut you off.
I know.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
Maybe you just don't want me to call my name myself anymore.
I don't want you to.
There are cameras in our faces. If you hear clicking.
I'm fine with it.
It's because the paparazzi is here.
The paparazzi's gotten out of control.
They're doing a full documentary on us.
Yeah.
Which is how you take a 10-year-old podcast and ruin it.
Yeah. It's a really, really interesting thing. It'll be on Netflix.
It will be. It's called...
Worst
killing WDW. Mike Newell, which is which. No offense, Mike. You know you're watching. You know you're not. We know you're not listening, but we wish you would.
No, yeah,
we miss you, Mike Newell. I think is Mike and Scope are the only ones that never apparently come back. Scope is just too busy.
Yeah,
and Newell is just no interest.
Doesn't like you.
No, he likes me.
No, he doesn't.
I just don't think they like Disney anymore. But people don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't
about,
either,
because none of the episodes are even available anymore. So
we cut them down.
Well, you can only have 100 episodes, and we've done about somewhere around there with all the bonus shows. So,
we need to offer only hours as a package deal, like from our very first episode on, and just say, you can get all of these.
Like, never offer the archives. No. We are working on how to do that, but yeah. Some of the information, people use the information, is just so dated now that you're going to be going back and Disney's MGM Studios and... All right, so today we're going to be talking about some things that came up on our Patreon group, which if you're not in, you can join at patreon.com/WDW today, which was the...
What do I get if I do that, though?
For $5...
You I love can, when I set you up for something like that.
For $5, you get an extra show every week, and you get to participate in it live on our Facebook group. And then for $10, you get to help pick what shows are coming next. You get to be part of what we call a producer. And what we call a producer, you get to be one of the producers.
Yeah, you actually are helping produce.
Yeah, content, so today's show is picked by actually our Patreon group, and that's because one of the shows our producers club picked. We're still working out the details with a guest to make it happen. So they came in, and really we came up with this concept. They kind of... gave us their affirmation.
Can we tease who that guest is?
Yeah.
Bob Iger.
Bob Iger is coming on the show.
to announce
that Trump won't be speaking. And we'll
announce that he's going in the Hall of Presidents.
Pre-Hall of Presidents. What if they did that? What if they did running? Like, while people are running, you could have, like, debates.
Well, not that, but they said they were really far in the process, according to the Vice News planning for Hillary Clinton to be in.
Yeah, because they usually just replace the head and the hands.
Yeah, and so it would have been a different...
body completely.
Yes, for a female president, the first female president, mm-hmm. She would have been.
Not the same animatronic.
Right. You can't just replace Barack Obama's head with Hillary Clinton's head and they'd be like, yeah.
I mean, you can.
Looks the same.
It looks the same to me.
But that's part of the reason that the Vice News article kind of offered that it was a little bit of unexpected.
All right. Well, today, though, we're going to actually talk about some things you maybe, and this came up because of talking about presidential things, and a couple of them are that, of things you may not have known that happened at Walt Disney World. So sort of the hidden secrets and events that some of you guys, if you're a super Disney World fan, you're going to know all some of these, but if you're just sort of planning your travel, it's something fun, you can keep an eye out for certain locations you maybe didn't know happened. I'm not just talking about like, oh yeah, they shot the Full House episode here, of course, in the Boy Meets World episode. I'm not talking about those kind of things. About things that...
Wait, there was an episode of Full House at Walt Disney World?
Is that a joke?
Dude, I don't
think there was like a week-long arc, or a week, like a month-long arc where,
yeah,
where Michelle gets stuck in the parade and like then she pulls the sword out of the stone. No recollection.
You don't remember that?
No recollection.
That was like some of the best episodes.
Some, I remember the genie is somehow involved. Uh-huh. It's like the Aladdin era.
Hmm. I'll have to go back and watch those.
Whatever happened to
Are they all on Netflix? I would assume they are, right?
Is it predictability? Whatever happened?
Whatever happened. Yeah, predictability. The milkman, the paper boy.
I always thought it said He-Man TV.
I thought it said eating in TV.
Oh, I always thought it was He-Man TV. Like the only show they watch is He-Man.
Whatever happened to He-Man? Well, it kind of went out like in 1980.
Yeah, but it's evening TV, right? Yeah,
evening TV.
Continue.
All right. So some of the ones that came up, let's start. Well, we're talking Hall of Presidents. We're not going to get into too much of a political discussion here. But there are some major political events that happened, and some moments in history that you've seen probably played 1,000 times.
And you didn't
never
know
that happened on Walt Disney World property. So first, let's talk about the famous one, Richard Nixon.
And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
That actually happened at Disney's Contemporary Resort. And you can find out, I don't know if we know what specific ballroom it happened in. I'm sure we can find out. And that's a pretty cool, pretty iconic moment in American history.
Right.
That you made
everyone
know,
knows.
That everyone knows that happened. A lot of you stayed in that hotel where that has happened. And there's always, you know, every year, like someone who does it, every time there's a presidential election, a lot of times they use Disney World's conference room space and all that. But moments like that are not as few and far between as you could quite imagine. So do we know why that happened?
It was specifically in the middle of the Watergate scandal was going on. And the Associated Press managing editor's annual conference was being held at the Disney Contemporary Resort. And so Nixon stopped there and did a televised Q&A session for the Associated Press managing editors there.
Yeah.
And so that's where it happened. And I'm going to look back and maybe see there's a...
Chef Mickey's open yet.
Talk about a crook.
$125 for breakfast with a couple
people in costume.
I feel like I've seen a picture.
I saw two Mickey Mouses, one going in, one going out. The lies.
I feel like I've seen a picture of Nixon in front of the Mary Blair mural at
probably
temporary.
Well, Nixon also opened the monorail in Disneyland. So that's another Nixon fact. So he was there, and he was. If you look at it, there's pictures of them cutting the ribbon, him and Walt cutting the ribbon at the monorail, and him taking the first ride on the monorail. So that's a pretty fun one. Also happened at Disneyland. This ties back into Ronald Reagan. Was that Ronald Reagan in Disneyland? Hosted the, if you ever watched the grand opening special, obviously he was not a politician at this point, was just an actor, but a good friend of Walt's, as well as Nixon was a good friend of Walt's. And he was the host. Later on, after Walt had passed, there was an issue that happened with weather-related issue for his second inauguration. And we talked about this a little bit, and maybe I can get my facts straight. So there was extreme winter weather. They had to hold the, what was the weather? What was the temperature?
It was 7 degrees, but -25 wind chill.
Right. So you weren't able to, Terry, showing a picture. What are you showing a picture of here?
If Nixon on a ride, like waving at the camera.
It's like he's on It's a Small World.
It's a small world after all.
Yes. Nixon. Where are we at? Reagan.
Yes.
So Reagan, so historically cold temperatures in D.C.
Right.
It's always, it always kind of snows. Yeah, it's always
a lot of
cold there.
Snow. People always make the statement, no matter what party you're with. Whenever it snows, like on inauguration, it's like, oh, it's a cleansing of D.C.
Yes. But instead, oh, and here's a picture.
That's the greatest picture I've ever seen.
Tweet that. It's Richard Nixon with the Dreamfinder.
That's the best.
And some little child who I assume is his grandchild, but you know, you never know. But
give me that kid.
I need a picture. Give me that kid. Hey, my wife is here again. Hello. So with Richard Nixon, no, Ronald Reagan. I keep getting those two confused. Ronald Reagan.
Now you can't say Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. He held his what ended up being sort of the commemorative second inauguration for his re-up for a second term. Again, it got sort of snowed out in D.C. They held it inside, smaller amount of people. So there's supposed to be all these bands that performed in Washington and all these big things that happened.
Yeah.
And they decided, he said, hey, I don't want to just blow these kids off who work so hard. So a few months later, in May, he held his second inauguration at Epcot.
Yeah.
In the park.
Yes.
Which I believe also was the first time characters were introduced into the park. I'll have to double check my facts. So before then, I don't believe there were ever characters at Epcot.
Hmm.
But since then, there have been, because they wanted, obviously, the photo op of Mickey, Minnie, and the president during what ended up being his sort of commemorative second inauguration.
Yeah.
So they even did, like I said,
he was officially in office and inaugurated for his second term. And also, second term inaugurations are a little bit less fanfare around them. So it was, you know, it was cool of him to do it.
Yeah, so they did it there. His old friend, he obviously was Walt, so it made sense for him to do it there as well. And they did a parade through World Showcase, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see that, like his motorcade parade, and all the bands performed. Very cool moment. You can find a lot of that on YouTube. And really take a look at that and see another crazy moment that happened at Walt Disney World.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan. Please all be seated, and I want to thank all of you, Senator Paula Hawkins, Congressman Ireland, Congressman Connie Mack, McCollum, the distinguished people here, and Mr. and Mrs. Eisner, all of you ladies and gentlemen, and these wonderful young people.
Yeah, I found this great article that has some great pictures of presidents at Disneyland history and Disney World history. And there's a picture of Jimmy Carter, I guess, asked to run around Disneyland one day. And so it's a picture with him and his Secret Service agents running around the park.
It's pretty cool.
Closed in front of Big Thunder Mountain.
There actually were a total of 7 presidents that, while they're in office, have visited the Walt Disney World Resort.
That's pretty cool.
So it's Nixon, Carter, Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama.
Very cool. It's pretty much everybody.
Yes.
This is interesting since we're on presidents, that every U.S. president from Dwight Eisenhower on has paid a visit to a Disney park at least once in their life, and most visit before or after their terms, but some while in office.
Very cool.
And of course, there was a Harry Truman, who was a Democrat, refused to ride Dumbo because he did not want to be seen riding an elephant.
Pretty funny.
Oh, fun fact.
Except for you'd think he'd be like, no, look, right, I'm riding this elephant.
No, it says he famously refused it. It's like, oh, it was so famous that we missed it. But
he didn't like the up-down stick.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. It had nothing to do
with
politics.
That's why Terry didn't vote for Truman.
Truman was a little before my time.
I was about to say, if Terry were alive to vote for Truman, then he has aged gracefully.
Yes. Well, any non-political ones we can talk about? One that people like to talk about, and we may have discussed it here before, is that at the Polynesian Resort was actually the official space, the official place where the contract was signed by John Lennon to dissolve the Beatles.
Which is a very unfortunate happening at the Disney parks.
Yeah, I think about that every time I'm there, actually.
Thanks, Yoko.
I'm always like, oh, this is where he signed it. This is where it all ended. That's pretty crazy. I mean, that's crazy to think that, like, everything from I'm Not a Crook to the Beatles breaking up.
Yeah, terrible things
happened on the monorail
history.
Loop.
You know? We should do a history crawl.
Oh, that'd be awesome. And I want to do that. We should do that. We should do it where we'll walk in. We'll find, I don't know if we can find out what room John Lennon stayed in.
Probably someone knows.
Mm-hmm.
Unless feels it's like been raised.
That feels like either Jim Hill or Lynn Testa would know the answer to that question.
Well, I'm glad we're talking to Lynn after this, but we'll casually forget to bring this up.
Going to have some dated questions.
Tell us about the refurb. Animal.
Well, we talk about Polynesian, but for some reason we forgot that main question we were going to ask him.
I'm looking at some of these are not not even fun. Did you know U2 was first approached to be the Rock and Roller Coaster starring U2?
No, I didn't know that.
And you're a huge U2 fan. As people are hearing this, you're in Texas seeing U2.
Yes.
Which is odd. I prefer Aerosmith for this occasion. One, I'm a bigger Aerosmith fan, but if you think about it, it's like there's a lot of Like, imagine, like, you two, you're trying to, one man come in the name of love. Like, that's a little weird.
You're going upside down.
There's, like, four sides. There's pretty much, it's like, what would be the track list? Elevation.
Yeah, Elevation would obviously be
like
perfect.
The lead song.
But then some of their, like, bigger rock anthems from early on would just be inappropriate.
Right,
like,
right.
Sunday Bloody Sunday. Yeah. You're pulling out at, you know, 60 miles an hour.
Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Here's a question.
You guys better buckle up. What, here we go. You know. Time to rock and roll.
I mean, this, we could also do the weird fact that there are dead people in the Haunted Mansion.
Well, they've been vacuumed up.
I mean, maybe they missed some.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people do that. They take their cremated remains and they sprinkle it in the Haunted Mansion. Disney definitely discourages that. You'll get kicked out and banned.
Yeah, because that's
you
not
can't,
necessarily.
It's not sanitary.
Like, you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that in, like, the public.
Yeah.
Like, people that throw it in the ocean stuff, not really supposed to do that.
No, that's illegal.
Yeah.
But people do it, and they do quickly get vacuumed. So it just, according to what they say. So they try to discourage it that way.
Apparently, and I didn't know this, and I don't have any. I'll know in a few days when I take a tour with McNair. But I had never heard this.
Maybe you need to explain who that is.
From former Disney Imagineer McNair Wilson. But apparently the tombstones outside are all tied to, like, real people.
The Haunted Mansion.
The Haunted Mansion, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd never.
Yeah, like.
I had always in my head, like, because they're always so rhymey and fun.
Yeah.
Because apparently the last time he went, he kind of had warned me. He said, hey, last time I took this tour, I found out someone died because they were on a Haunted Mansion. One of his former, someone he had worked with at Imagineering.
Oh, I don't know if they were all dead when they were placed there.
Well, they are now. Well, like, as they're putting new people there, they're only putting people that are...
passed away?
Okay. Who passed away.
Interesting. Because, like, Leota Tombs, which is the final one you see before you go in, which is put in, that one currently opens eyes and closed by Jason Sorrell. That one is because the woman who recorded the Madame Leota is Leota Tombs. So, That's why her liking it. And now it's her daughter. Is her daughter, because they redid it when they did the floating version. Mm-hmm. But it's still her audio. So yeah, those are definitely all tied to, and she was involved and was one of the people involved. Also, fun fact, if you're there at the Haunted Mansion graveyard, the pet cemetery that's on as you exit and to the left up on sort of the hill, you can see Mr. Toad has been placed up there since his attraction was gone.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, I
just wanted to see who would break the silence.
It was getting too weird. You know, I'd always knew that the details at Disney were always over the top, and I just had never, I wasn't prepared how specific that was.
One of the other ones, when you're in the, and this may be on the spot, I have to look up how it worked. I think it's on the spot. The spot where Toy Story Mania is where, like, the Mickey Mouse Club with Britney Spears and all those were recorded. Because that was where that soundstage was.
It was the new track is on that soundstage.
Yeah, so when you're on that, you know that that's a... You can think about that when you're there, that this is where young Britney and young Justin got their start.
I mean, half of pop culture.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling.
Got started in that room. Christina?
Christina. I'm trying to think who else. I don't know.
Yeah, it was the studio that is right next to where that whole... Because if you ever went during, like, Star Wars weekends and you were in the store or, you know, when they had the mega store in there,
yeah.
You were that was the soundstage that it was on.
Yeah, are there any sound stages left? I don't think there are really.
I think there's like a half of one left where the third track is. There's like half of
what about where they used to do, like, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Was that in Streets of America? Where was it?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Because that was a few different things.
It was, this is the first part of Toy Story. Actually, it's where the bathrooms were, because I think it was right there.
Okay. I just couldn't remember. I remember there was
it was right over
there. So that was all soundstage moments.
Oh, did you guys know there used to be this really secretive club at Disneyland called, I think it's Club 33, and it was very historic.
No one knew about it.
And no one knew about it. It was very exclusive, expensive. No one could really get in. The waiting list was for years, and then that just kind of died and went away.
They just kind of ruined it.
Yeah.
I'll still probably join.
1%er over there.
I know. You got to spend your dollars wisely. And I say, I want to go into a small private room.
It used to be great. Make Club 33 exclusive.
Did you know there's an abandoned water park in the middle? You see that one always on the
internet. Yeah, there's two abandoned water parks.
Are there?
Yeah.
What are the two?
I left it. I had it earlier.
What else was that?
Something Cove.
Country?
There was the one, there was the river country, and then there was one that was on the island.
That's Discovery Island. Yeah.
Discovery Island, yes. I think I went to that one.
I remember going to River Country, or at least like, I don't have any recollection of riding anything, but I do remember like going there.
Did you know in 1955 at Disneyland, they had a bra store on...
Bra?
What?
Y'all didn't know
Brassiere?
That? I was making a joke, like everyone knows that. Yeah, it was like an intimate apparel store on Main Street. Because those were actual stores. They were storefronts. They weren't just all Disney stores. There was actual retailers. Yeah, here's a picture of it. See, there you go.
Well, how about that? Truly is a family park.
I kind of wish they'd still do that. And they do that with Starbucks is really the only thing.
You wish that you could still...
Well, they would have stores. Like, that the Main Street wasn't just a giant Disney store.
Well, they did put in a mall at Disney Springs.
That is not the same.
No, I even mean, like, the magic shop at Disneyland. Different. Like, the way they have that all set up. Not just a...
Did that close? I saw rumors that that was going to close.
Well, if it did, then sad. That's what I'm talking about. And I understand why they don't.
You're proving his point.
I like the making it a real little town. Little town, it's a quiet village. I finally saw that movie.
I didn't.
I mean, I know it came out in 1991, but it took me a while. All right. Well, should we take it to listener questions?
Let's do it.
All right. Here's listener questions with Lynn.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
Next, we have a question from Wilson. And
Wilson.
A little fish action there for Logan and
Catherine. Right. Double Wilson.
On a somewhat recent show, you mentioned a house you rented in Orlando, had a small arcade and other amenities. We're considering our first off-site trip with the extended family, and I was wondering some of the details of that house and the company you used for these rentals.
Sure. Specifically, you don't even really need a specific house because most of them have, when you do these vacation rentals, have some form of arcade or special amenities, movie theater, an arcade, water slides and game rooms. And the amenities, bowling alleys, the amenities you can think of now they're offering in these vacation rentals. I have used primarily All Star Vacation Homes, which was a sponsor in the show for years. And then also more recently I've used Jeeves. Both have been pretty good experiences. I've had no issues. I mean, I've had issues. Obviously, you go into a house, something's not working, they fix it. I would say Jeeves came in quite a bit cheaper, but I would also say the houses weren't necessarily up to the standards that I had stayed in some of the other ones. So and they're all really nice houses. Know that a lot of times these are great houses. But even my wife even comment, like the Jeeves house, while it was half the price, and for me it was worth it, was like, yeah, the carpet wasn't super clean. Like that kind of stuff. Maybe just the staffing is different. But I like the people at Jeeves. They're very nice and accommodating. And the people at All Star have always been great. So those are two I'd give you a good option. There's tons of them. If you just type in vacation homes, Airbnb is now a really good source. If you don't care about sort of the customer service part of it. I've never booked through it, but I know a lot of them double book. You can book through Airbnb. Always check if you go to the Airbnb, though. If you're booking it through, like you'll see All Star will be booking it through them. Don't do that. Contact All Star or contact Jeeves or one of those directly because you usually can get the price down significantly.
Oh, good tips.
Yeah, at least they'll knock off 10-20%. And a lot of times if you're staying for a week, that could be like $1,000 off just because – you went directly through them. And even like when I went to WrestleMania, they gave me a free night because I was coming for WrestleMania. And really, I think they give you that regardless. They just said, are you coming for WrestleMania? I said, yes. Oh, we're running a special. So just keep a watch.
We smell what you're cooking, sir.
Right, exactly. we can tell. We can tell by your voice, your beard. We can tell your weight. You're coming for WrestleMania.
Those are all things you have to list. Yeah. It's weird on the
floor. Yeah, yeah.
It's the strangest input.
It's like a 20 questions. You are coming to WrestleMania. All right. You asked that last question, right? All right. Michelle Wooden said, which restaurants have bars of all of them that you can eat at on a dining plan? That's a good question. Which restaurants have bars that you can eat at on a dining plan? So I guess full menu restaurants that are available at a bar.
Primetime Cafe for sure. Definitely.
You could use your credit.
Hit up the sci-fi. What is the lounge called? The Tune-In Lounge.
Tune-In Lounge. Yeah, you can definitely
love
that
place.
At 50s Primetime.
50s Primetime.
You said sci-fi.
Yeah, I meant to say 50s.
Okay, just confirming for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Citrico's, Narcusi's, I'm sure California Grill. Chico has sort of like a wine room. Sanaa has a bar that you can order at. I think most of the upscale deluxes, especially all the signatures that, you know, other than like Cinderella's Royal Table.
There's a few of them that seem to be part of the restaurant, like the Sanaa Lounge and the Tune In Lounge. And then there are some that kind of have their own identity where they're sort of separated and you almost, they operate almost independently. So there's kind of a fine line there.
Hmm.
So, good I point. Mean, I've seen a few of them, like the Wilderness Lodge one that's right there by...
Territory Lounge. Yeah, you can order anything from there. Yeah, it's actually a great lounge.
Yeah, but it sort of operates as its own thing. And then the lounge that's over at the Yachtsman Steakhouse is completely separated from that. So it's a little... you can get a lot of the same menu items, but they kind of operate a little independently. So you always ask if you're unsure. I mean, that's kind of one of those things that's at the discretion.
Or if there's a crazy long wait. Or you want to try somewhere that you can't get in. Great ways to do that, typically. All right, Terry.
Sean wants to know, I've got a couple of questions about the Christmas party at the Magic Kingdom. Hello, planning ahead. We're hoping to take a five-day trip this December. Day one would be the Christmas party, and days two to five would be our park days. We are planning on getting a four-day ticket. We don't want the first day at the Christmas party to count against our four-day ticket, as this will be our first Disney Christmas trip. Question. First half of the question. If we enter the park at 4 p.m. for the Christmas party that starts at 7 p.m., can we schedule fast passes between 4 to 7 p.m.? I heard they didn't allow fast passes during the actual party. Second half of the question about how many tickets do they sell for each Christmas party? I'm wondering of how busy the park is during these special events. Any tips or tricks that you might recommend for the party and the best time to hit meet and greets? Thanks for the great podcast and all the great information. First timers from the Mitten, so some Michigan listeners here.
Gotcha. All right, so we'll back up and say their first point was if they enter at 4 p.m., can you make fast passes if you have a party ticket during the regular scheduled hours?
Yes.
Okay. So once you're in 4 to 7, you can go in, make your fast passes.
Yes.
All right. How many people do usually show up at these things, and how busy does it make the parks?
What we've heard from Disney is that they will sell up to 20 to 25,000. Tickets. So before the number used to be 20K, we think it's 25K now. In terms of wait times, we do a thing on the blog post every year where we both predict based on previous years what the busiest days are going to be for each party and then how long we expect to wait. I don't think you ever wait more. I don't think the average wait at the attractions is like 10 minutes.
Right.
At least what you do see though, the closer you get to the particular event, so whether it's Halloween or Christmas, the closer you get, the more crowded the park feels because more people go, even if they don't go on rides. So they're there to enjoy the atmosphere, the shows, the ambiance, the food, the characters, and things like that. So even if you see low wait times, you might still see.
It's like a 10 is not always a 10. A 10 is
right,
a different.
Exactly.
It's a different.
Or 10 minute wait. Yeah, might not translate to very low crowds because everyone's in line for peppermint, you know, hot chocolate or whatever.
That's what we experienced at the Halloween party, which was you could walk on every attraction, but the amount of people was like mind-blowingly crushing. It was crazy because everyone was in certain specific spots that you couldn't avoid because you'd be like, all right, this is everyone waiting in line for candy, and that was bigger than waiting in line to go to Splash Mountain. All right.
And I think the way that they've booked their trip is a great way to use the Christmas party. You're getting that Magic Kingdom day kind of a head start on it. They're going to get there at 4 and then, you know, they're going to be able to get the most out of the party that way.
What about best time to hit the meet and greets? They said that during those early on, right? Or later on?
Early or late. Yeah, exactly.
Some people, like for the Jack Skellington one, Halloween, people are getting in line in the middle of the afternoon, like right at 4 o'clock. So know that that can get crazy for those parties. But yeah, early or late is good options. Okay, let's move on from this one. Thank you, though, Laura. Or that was First Time Admittance. I don't know their name.
Sean.
All right. Will, you up or am I up?
I'm not asking this question, so I'll give it to you.
All right. Laura says, best time to meet characters. Should we do it in the morning? This is kind of similar. We kind of just said this, but this was for non-parties. Should we do it in the morning when lines are shorter, but then we're giving up peak ride times?
Yeah. It depends on the character greeting. You know, for Mickey Mouse in the Magic Kingdom, I do think the best time to see him is first thing in the morning for a couple of reasons. One, it's a hike to get back to him if you're going to stay in the park the rest of the day, to go all the way back down Main Street and all the way back. And it is some of the shortest waits of the day. For the other ones, though, like character spot at Epcot, Anna and Elsa at Epcot, Adventures Outpost at Animal Kingdom. I think you can schedule those later in the morning after you get a couple of headliner rides in. So, like, you know, you could go at 10 or 10:30 and not experience super long waits. The other thing is if you have small kids and they're not going to go on, you know, like Expedition Everest, you could always fast pass the Adventures Outpost. Yeah. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I've done some of the fast passes for characters with my son, who doesn't do the big rides, and it definitely saves a good portion of your day. It keeps your kids from melting down. So I'd suggest those fast passes if they're available. Even that Meet and Greet Mickey Mouse one is nice, and they are typically pretty short. And we did the one for Anna and Elsa while Frozen broke down, surprise, and it was a pretty short wait. It was a pretty short queue. There's so many people, you know, going through it and now being able to get through it. It's a cool line. So even that we did kind of right as it opened, like around 11, and it was great. And that was when it was still like opening a little bit later, I guess. All right. If you will, so do you want me to now take this one now, or do you want to take it? Now we mess up the order.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it. This is from Elise Jones, and she wants to know, what is the best character dining outside of the parks? Should have skipped this one too.
Oh, I didn't see this one. You skipped one.
I think all of the best.
Hold on.
I had the best. Oh, you're
you
right.
Read Laura.
You're right. I'm sorry. I saw characters twice.
Pay attention.
Backing off. I'm over here if you need me.
I think all of the best character dining is outside of the parks, with a couple of exceptions. I think, you know, I love for breakfast the beach blanket buffet over at the Beach Club. It's a great way to see a lot of the headliner characters. I think you're obviously missing, I think, Mickey there.
Yeah.
But you're getting Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald.
I've never done that one.
It's one of my favorite breakfasts. You know, honestly, you know, inside the parks, you know, you've got some of your bigger ones. What else do you think outside
the
parks?
Face characters are the main ones you can hit inside the park. So if you want the princesses and things like that. Right? Because there's not a princess outside the park. You can do the thing at the Grand Floridian, they do.
Yeah, whatever.
The dance royal banquet thing. But it's not a traditional dining. So, let's see. For me, the best dining, I really like, and I know it's not necessarily the most popular characters, but I've said this before, I really like the Ohana character breakfast. It is.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's not a buffet, which I like. It's all you can eat, but it's not a buffet, so you don't have to get up and move around and the stress of potentially missing the characters or getting your kids your food while someone sits. So that whole part is taken away from you, and they just bring the food to you. The food is solid. It's the same food that's everywhere, bacon, sausage, eggs, with a couple exceptions, a couple extra things. And it has you get Mickey. You get Mickey usually, and sometimes it's a different character. When I've gone, every time it's been Mickey and then Lilo instead.
So you guys like the all you care to eat when they bring you kind of family style to the table. You're not having to go.
I prefer that, yeah, because it's just less of a pain. I mean, Chef Mickey's, obviously you get better characters, but from a stress point of view, from a dad point of view, I much prefer the Ohana one.
There's nowhere for lunch that you can do characters outside of the parks, correct? I can't think of anything.
Chef Mickey's, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Chef Mickey. They do lunch?
Oh, I think that place is 24, practically 24 hours.
Does Chef Mickey's do lunch?
I don't know if they do lunch. If they do lunch,
I don't think they do.
You could probably get a very early dinner. You probably get like a 4 o'clock dinner. I think it's like 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock. They're probably is it open for lunch?
Well, they have brunch.
Brunch.
So not lunch.
Yeah. So that's the only one you.
Nothing.
So yeah, I don't. What about the one over at the Swan and Dolphin? Does that one do lunch?
Oh, Garden Grove?
Yeah. I went
it's
to
not,
jest it, but...
It's not very highly rated.
No.
In, you know, they do lunch, actually. It's 11:30 to 2:30 at Chef Mickey's.
Okay,
that's lunch. They call it brunch, but whatever. Garden, not very highly rated. Although the interesting thing is, if you want characters, like if you just want the character experience and you don't care about the food, you could probably go in there and be one of like 12 people. Where you're essentially one-to-one ratio between you and the characters.
Yeah.
It's just the food's not great.
Exactly. So it's up to you. It depends if you're doing it for your kids or you're doing it for your kids and for your own sanity. So you let us know. Let us know what you decide to do. But I think you heard from me, my favorite was Ohana. Terry's was the Minis.
For breakfast, beef blanket buffet.
Lynn, what was yours? Was it Ohana also?
Ohana, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Will doesn't care.
Is there a dinner that has character bus.
Chef Mickey's is dinner.
Chef Mickey's.
Yeah.
It's pretty decent. You know, it's better than you'd probably expect
it to be. I don't want Mickey Mouse cooking my food. It's weird.
Lots of cheese.
I don't like it.
Well, people love it, Will.
So Nikki wants to know, if you have a Frozen Ever After Fast Pass later in the day, which attraction do you hit at Rope Drop?
Did we ask this?
No.
No.
No?
I don't know.
Nikki, we just did Best Character Dining at the Park.
I'm lost. I'm so tired.
Nikki asks, if you have a Frozen Ever After Fast Pass for later in the day, which attraction do you hit at Rope Drop? Test Track or Soaring, assuming single rider is not an option at Test Track.
Probably. Yeah, the thing with Test Track, the only issue with it is if it's very, very humid in the morning, it may not open on time because humidity doesn't work well with the track itself. And they may take a few minutes and a few extra cycles of cars to go through it. You know, to be safe, I would go with Soarin'. Just because that one is indoors and it's a theater attraction and it's easier to ride. So
if you were doing this, would you just if you were doing Rope Drop at Epcot, would you just Rope Drop Frozen?
No, it's a terrible idea. We looked at looked at every possible combination of it. Yeah, we looked at
Well, I'm just asking because then they would open up the rest of their day.
Horrible idea. Yeah, and the problem is that you spend so much time in walking.
True, getting there is a pain.
Yeah, that you don't.
What if you go through International Gateway?
No, because
you have to go the other way.
Yeah.
Not only do you go the other way, but they typically don't let people into International Gateway before the park opens, but they do in Future World. So those people have a tremendous advantage. Jump on you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jerks. All right. Never mind. Forget I exist here. That was a bad suggestion.
We have already forgotten.
This is why Lynn's here and I'm not answering these questions. All right. So is this me now?
Betsy.
We'll figure it out.
Betsy Silvestri. She says...
the heck of a name.
I know. I didn't say that either.
Betsy Silvestri is the best.
Why in the world doesn't Disney Springs have a character meal? I remember the good old days of Chef Mickey's on a riverboat. If you were allowed to design a character meal for Disney Springs, what would it be like? Well, let's first start with the initial question. Why don't they have it?
I thought for sure that when they redid Paddlefish, that it was going to be character greeting.
It was not. I enjoyed my time, though, at Paddlefish, I have to say. I had a good meal. Just throwing that out there.
I don't know. I don't know why they don't. I thought for sure it was going to be.
Yeah. We don't have really a definitive answer on this.
Well, what would you mean if we could do anything there? What would we like to see?
I prefer not to have it. I think they're doing a great job how it is.
I would like to see, and you know he's occasionally there, but let's have Indiana Jones and friends always at the hangar. Because I've had an experience with Indiana Jones where he's like sitting at the bar and he's like,
tell us about your experience with Indiana Jones.
He's just kind of mumbling about temples and
golden moon. You sound like Watto from Phantom Menace.
It's sort of like old Harrison Ford. Han Solo.
Crashing planes everywhere. Real pilot.
That's why this is the hangar. Jack Lindsay, I'd hire him. He's a good pilot. So I would like that. That sounds like that'd be fun. Actually, let's kick that theme up about 10 notches.
I like it.
All right. Do you have one or no?
I'm not going to outdo that. I mean, you know what? We make the Rainforest Jungle Book themed. Rainforest Cafe Jungle Book themed.
Right?
I like my rainforest the way it is, but I... But, you know, that's okay.
Are you with me on
that? I like that Poliwog.
Poliwog?
Yeah, the rainforest cat. What's his name?
Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha.
Yep. Cha-Cha, there's...
I meet that character.
You'll meet only the non-rainforest characters.
What do you think, Lynn?
Non-Disney characters. Only rainforest.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Probably won't happen.
No.
Because that's like mixing brands. But all right, let's move on. Start wrapping this thing up. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to Tammy Henderson at Glass Slipper Concierge. And you can go to her website and she'll help you book your vacation. We wanted to find an organization that wasn't just an organization. It was a person, an individual that you could work with. So someone directly you can talk to who's a listener to this show, who knows what you want, who's going to work with you and make sure you get the best vacation possible. Again, that's at Glass Slipper Concierge. And her website is theworldwithtammy.com. I assumed it was .com, but you never know. TheWorldWithTammy.com. Also, a couple little quick plugs for us. Patreon group. You heard about us talk about it early on. Again, that's at patreon.com/WDWtoday. I need to get a few more people in there. It really helps us out. It helps, again, right now it covers about the cost of one of our advertisement spots. But we'd like to get more and more people on there. One, because we're creating really fun shows, different shows. They feel different. They're funny. They go a little bit more off the wall, a little bit more uncensored.
It's a little bit zany. Yeah. A little bit wacky.
Yeah, you never know what we're going to do over on that show. And we
I
do it live.
Actually left today.
Will did. He walked out because of something you'll have to find out.
Something foolish.
You can go watch that on our Facebook group. You get to be in a private Facebook group, just people who are Patreon members. And then for an extra $5 or $10 a month, you can be in the Producers Club. Help us decide what episodes we're going to do next. All right. Last plug is for the Pod Cruise. If you're coming on, a few WDW Today listeners have already booked this week. We got a few rooms left. Not too many left. So if you want to be part of the Pod Cruise, you need to get on it now. Go to podcruise.com and book with Tony and Ahoy Travel. You'll get in connection with them. Do not book through Norwegian Cruise Line.
Nope.
Someone did it.
Yep.
You know who you are, and I know it's not your fault. It's your husband's fault. I blame him. But it's become kind of a mess. So make sure you book through us. That is at podcruise.com. We can't wait to see you there. We'll be doing live shows for this show, for Scare Zone, for BLT. So if you like Bart Scott or the Tim Tracker, they'll be there.
I like them.
Will's going to be there doing the podcast and also doing this. We're going to be having a blast. Again, podcruise.com. Just a few rooms left. And you never know, because of the fact that we are past our original deadline for our group, when Norwegian is going to just pull those rooms for us. So they're at the same rate. We got a few left. Again, podcruise.com. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to everyone who listens.
That means you.
And you, Will.
And me.
And Terry.
Yep.
You got nothing to say?
Nope.
I listen.
I don't.
Who's to say?
All right. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And until next time, we'll see you.